This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Siri Nelson. Siri is the president and CEO of the Marshall Medical Center. We're going to talk to her about priorities, about optimism versus pessimism today, about the Marshall Medical Center, and a little bit more. Siri, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks. First of all, thanks a lot for having me. I'm honored to be here. As you said, my name is Siri Nelson, and I am the president and CEO of Marshall Medical Center. I've been here just over a year, and I'm a CPA by background, and I've been a hospital executive for more than 15 years.
And so what's it been like taking over as president and CEO, sort of right on the forefront of the part of most major pandemic in 100 plus years? What has that been like?
Well, it's been a challenge. So people have been sort of giving me a hard time about the fact that I started, we had the power safety shutoffs here in Northern California. So we had many power outages in the fall. Then we had the worldwide pandemic. Like, they're looking at me going, what else is going on? What are you going to bring now? So it's been an interesting year, for sure.
And talk about that. It's been this challenging year. California has the wildfires. It has other things. You've got the pandemic. Talk about optimism. Are you optimistic about the future, even given these different challenges?
You know, I really am. One of the things, we were having a conversation the other day, and one of the positives that's come out of this worldwide pandemic is, and I've seen it here in Marshall, is people are coming together. And you see on the news all this stuff about strife and people coming apart and arguing and fighting with each other. And what we're doing is pulling together as a team and helping each other and pulling each other through. One of the things I love about Marshall was the culture. When I first started here, I ran around and I was talking to everybody, and I'd ask staff, what's your name? What department do you work in? And what's the best thing about working at Marshall? And every single person told me the same thing, which was, it's the family atmosphere. It's my teammates. It's my coworkers. That's why I'm here. And I just think that culture really helped pull us together and work as a team to address whatever challenges we're facing.
And talk about, as you look at these challenges, as you look at optimism, as you look at this next 6 to 12 months, talk about your top three priorities as you look at the next 6 to 12 months.
So I think for us that the first couple of priorities are probably everybody else's, which is get ready for whatever's coming in the fall. I laughingly tell people my crystal ball is not that good anymore. I'm an optimist by just who I am. I always look at things as half full, never half empty. And so I keep thinking, okay, well, it's going to get better. Oh, it's going to get better. And, we still have some work to do. So I think for us, getting through the fall, there's a lot of working parents here at Marshall that are struggling with their children on distance learning. And so we're working with them to try and help them weather that storm. So just getting through the next 6 months, getting ready for whatever potential patient surge we may have. We are in the foothills of Northern California, so we are fairly rural. We have not had a lot of COVID positive patients here, but we've certainly had people who are worried, and we've had to get prepared. So it's working with our partners in the Central Valley and the Sacramento area and making sure that we can handle the patients that we can, and we have partners to send those higher level of care to. And then, really pulling together with our physicians and making sure that, we are protecting each other and doing the best thing for our patients. So that's like one and two for me. I think the third one would probably be working on our financial health. We're not immune to it like anybody else. COVID really hurt our financial position. And as an independent hospital, I don't have a giant bank behind me. So we're working on making sure that Marshall is financially solid and secure long into the future.
Well, fantastic and great clarity. And talk for a moment about Marshall Medical Center. Talk about a few points of pride in the medical center.
like I said before, I am so ecstatic to be a part of this organization. So it's part of it is the culture, the family atmosphere. Everybody really supports each other, works well together. We were recently recognized by the Loan Institute as number two in the entire country for community connection and outreach. So we were really excited to get that recognition. And we do great clinical quality here. We're recognized as a Silver Elite Stroke Center. We have a baby-friendly program for our family birth center. And right now, we recently got award from Press Ganey that we are the 99th percentile in the country for our emergency department. So not only do we have a great culture, but we execute really well on doing the right things for patients and our community.
And that's fantastic, and a huge amount to be proud of there. Fantastic and great clarity about what you do and how close you tie to the community as an independent community medical center. It's a fantastic perspective. Talk for a moment, Siri, about your leadership journey. You started as a CPA, ended up as a hospital executive, ended up now as CEO and president of a great independent hospital. Talk a little bit about your leadership journey.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that question, and I've had a lot of people ask me the same thing. And really, none of this was sort of any Machiavellian plot on my part. I wasn't one of those 20 or 30 somethings that said, okay, here's where I want to go, and I want to be a hospital CEO. What I tell everybody was, I love what I do. So number one, find something you love. And I truly, truly, truly love what I do. I feel grateful I get to do this job every day. And so if you find something that you love, it actually fills your bucket as opposed to draining you. And so number one is find something that fills you up. Number two, I always raise my hand. Anytime anybody said, hey, who can do this? Can somebody take this on? How can you help with this? I would say, I'll do it. And please let me try and do it. And that wasn't to say I wasn't going to do my day job, but I was always willing to take on additional responsibility. And I learned a ton to be able to do that. So that's how I was able to sort of make the jump from the finance side of the universe to operations, because I was working at a small hospital pretty close to where I am now. And, you know, the CEO left. There was a need for an interim, and the board tapped me to be the interim CEO. And I'm like, well, I've been there less than 6 months, and I thought, okay, I can do this. I know how to reach out to people. I know how to make it happen. And I did. And then we hired the new CEO, and I talked to her about, hey, let me keep some operational responsibility. I really found I enjoyed that. And so my advice to people was, you know, raise your hand, find something that fills your bucket, because if you don't love what you do, it's just not worth it.
Siri, thank you. Great advice on leadership. Raise your hand, love what you do. If you don't have a passion for what you do, it's going to be work every day. If you love what you do, it's a great career, and it never feels like work, at least not most of the time. Talk for a moment about being an interim CEO and what that felt like. Was that a great opportunity? How did you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. Honestly, I was terrified. I had been at this hospital less than 9 months. The CEO kind of got sideways with the board, and they asked him to leave, and they asked me to be interim. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, so I'm purely coming from the finance side of the universe. And we had some pretty hairy stuff happen. So one of the things that happened was that we had six community members all be brought into my emergency department because they had eaten death cap mushrooms. So mushrooming is a big deal. They go out and pick mushrooms, and apparently these were poisonous mushrooms. And so we had six people in the emergency department drinking charcoal, thinking they might have liver failure. We had to transfer them down to UCSF in San Francisco. And it was kind of trial by fire. We had a patient who got diagnosed with rabies because they had bitten by a bat. So rural medicine, right? So you take what you come. I had a general surgeon who was on call for us, who came in and said, basically said, if I didn't pay his malpractice insurance, he was going to quit taking call. And I said, well, I'm sorry, doctor, I can't pay your malpractice insurance. So I was scrambling to cover call for, you know, many days in this little rural hospital. And so luckily I had great support. So my chief nurse executive was right with me every step of the way. I had a great medical staff attorney I could reach out to. And I used my colleagues and my resources and said, okay, now what do I do? And they were amazingly helpful. So it was kind of like my first year at Marshall, kind of like trial by fire. But I learned a lot, and I realized, okay, I can do this.
So what a fascinating trial by fire and experience and learning. So that's really how it often is, particularly in a mid-sized to smaller hospital where the hospital touches everything, but isn't so deeply resourced that it's got billions of dollars of support behind it. So you're constantly really trying to make things work and make things go well and take care of a community that really needs that help and has no other access to help. I mean, so fascinating situation.
Yeah, I learned a whole lot. So you hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, one of the things I've always said is I have the same 12 people that I tap on every time. So where you're working in a small rural hospital, now Marshall is I would say, medium-sized hospital, but my career, I've spent most of it in small rural hospitals, and you got the same 10 to 12 people that's doing everything. And you're right, you still have to do everything that all the big systems do. I just got the same 12 people.
And how important is it, though? Because that is such an important point about leadership, too. Like people talk about they want to touch 1,000 people, but they really need to start with a key leadership team of 10 to 12. You'd mentioned your CNO. You'd mentioned at that point in time having to deal with the system's malpractice or not malpractice, you know, attorney because of how do I deal with this attorney who's this doctor who's threatening to leave and so forth. How important is it to have a team of 5 to 12 that really are the people that you go to and then lead with and cascade through leadership with?
Oh, it's critical. I can't, you know, I can't stress enough how important that is. I am fortunate the chief executive team here at Marshall is very strong. They've had a lot of tenure. So my chief nurse executive, my CFO, and my COO have all been here 30 plus years. And so they know this organization. They know this institution. They're a great team that works really well together. But that's the first step is making sure, especially as a new executive coming in, that you have that team that understands your vision, that works well with you, that connects with you, that you can rely on, because everybody comes at it from a different perspective. So my CFO is going to look at things one way, my chief nurse is going to look at it a completely different lens, and all of us will have to work together to make the best decision. So it's critical to success.
Siri, I want to thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. Great to hear your perspective. I love the career path, CPA to hospital executive to CEO, and really learning the whole thing and realizing how much as a non-clinical background originally had to rely on people with clinical backgrounds to bring out greatness in the system. I just love the background and how you approach it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.